CQ. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, with the Outreach Scars Preamble. Welcome to the Outreach Program, sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and to further assist those wishing to upgrade license status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the extra class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly. It will be at 7 p.m. at 2300 Zulu each Tuesday and 7 p.m. again, 2300 Zulu each Sunday evening. Letting it drop. For those who are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS server, either at EchoLink node number 96140, IRLP node 9614, Old Star node AST 27404, DMR TG 314 5983, or DSTAR XLX 004-J, and finally on Fusion YSF XLX 004. Well, that was a mouthful. Letting it drop. Tony was eating potato chips right there. For those who are interested, please contact Mike, Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at VOIP at SCARS, VOIP. That's Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra Victor Oscar Mike Papa.com to enroll in the class and be given directions as the study material required and the manner you will be connected into the course. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue with some of the technical statements made and in keeping without interrupting the class in session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at VOIP at scarsvoip.com. It should be mentioned that this course covers only requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing class sessions on this server, please drop us an email at VOIP at scarsvoip.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website at www.scarsvop.com, and I am recording. One more drop and we'll finish this. Please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or not be current and should not be used during the session. Do we have any emergencies or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? Standing by. Okay, at this point, let us begin. And who are we going to start with tonight? We're going to start with Kilo Charlie 2, Golf Alpha, Gary in Syracuse, New York, I believe. Gary, you've got the floor. It's all yours. KD0, CDQ.
Well, thank you, Mike. I think they threw in four walls, too. it's great to hear you, and good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Kathy, and hello to everybody in the class. It's a pleasure to be here tonight, and you know, I wish you all the very, very best of luck with your studies on this. You know, this is the Cadillac of ham radio licenses, and you know, we've all been through it, and it's worth it to have that thing on your wall. It really is. So, pay attention to what we're talking about, and all the best. And it's going to be a good little class for us tonight. I can tell you that for sure. Okay, this section, this E5C section, is talking about graphing. We use a lot of visuals in representing data. in this phase of the hobby. So we're talking about the different ways that data is graphed. Okay, it's perhaps not the most fascinating stuff in the world, but you do have to know it. So let's just get started. Okay, I'm going to get started with E5C04, and the question is, what coordinate system is often used to display the resistive, inductive, and or capacitive reactance components of impedance? All right, and here's your choices. A, the Maidenhead grid. B, the Faraday grid. C, elliptical coordinates. Or D, rectangular coordinates. All right, those are your choices. Of the four that we've just presented, the correct answer is D. D as in dog, rectangular coordinates. I'm going to let it drop, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay, there's lots of different types of graphs. When they start talking about rectangular components, it's just a grid. It's a crisscross, right? It's like every graph that you ever saw in math class. It's all it is, X, Y. That's all it is. There's an x-axis and a y-axis, and your data is graphed on those points, okay? The rectangular coordinate system, real number lines that intersect at right angles, that's the definition. The intersection of the two axes is known as the origin, point right in the center, okay? So it's basically go back to your Algebra 101 and think about the graphs you saw then. Whenever they mention rectangular components on the test, that's what they're talking about. That's the graph that you want to see in your mind's eye. Okay? Anybody have any questions at this point? Okay, nothing heard at this point, so we'll go to the next question. And that is E5C05. Okay, E5C05. And what is the name of the diagram used to show the phase relationship between impedances at a given frequency? All right, now here's your choices. Your choices are A, the Venn diagram, B, the near field diagram, C, the phasor diagram, set your phasors to stun, or D, the far field diagram. All right, those are your choices. What's the answer? The answer is in the question, and this is a trick that I'll pass along to you, that in these exams, not all the time, but sometimes they give you the answer right in the question, and this is one of them, because the correct answer for this is C, the phasor diagram, right? And they're asking a question about phase relationship, so it's right here, it's right there, your phasor diagram. So look for those little tidbits in the questions, because sometimes they give it to you as a freebie, and it's pretty consistent with FCC exams. So there's a handy little way to navigate around that. But again, these are the tricks of the trade thing. So keep it in mind, and I'm going to throw it open to any questions or discussion at this point. Right, nobody there, so I'm going to turn it over to David, KB9EWG. He's got the next set of questions. And hello there, sir. Good to have you along.
Good evening to you there, sir. Gary, how's it going? Thanks for all of us to work together. Happy to be with this evening here. And I like how you stuck that in about set phasers of sun there. Well, good evening, everybody. KB9EWG here. And I've got the next question in the pool here. And that question is going to be Echo 5, Charlie 06. What does the 50J25 represent? A, 50 ohms resistant in series with 25 ohms inductive reactance. B, 50 ohms resistant in series with 25 ohms capacitive reactance. C, 25 ohms resistance in series with 50 ohm inductive reactance. Or D, 25 ohms resistance in series with 50 ohms capacitive reactance. Well, the correct answer would be Bravo B, 50 ohms resistance shaded to 25 ohms capacitive reactance. And the little explanation here is J is the square root of the negative 1 and 1 over J equals minus J. J is the imaginary number used in the case to sort out reactance and impedance from pure resistance. This is because reactance of a capacitor is a leading reactance. That means that the current leads the voltage across it by 90 degrees. That's a mouthful. Okay. The next question is going to be Echo 5, Charlie 07. Where is the impedance of a pure resistance plotted on a rectangular coordinates? A, vertical axis, the vertical axis. B, on a line to the origin slanted at a 45 degrees. C, on a horizontal line offset vertically above the horizontal axis, or D, on horizontal axis? Well, the correct answer is D, on horizontal axis. Let me reset now. I'll give you a reason here there. Okay. Lost my place here. Okay. A cardinal coordinate system in two dimensions, also called a rectangular coordinate system, or on the orthogonal coordinate system, is defined by an ordered pair of perpendicular lines or axes in a single unit of length, both axes and an orientation of each axis. So there's another mouthful for you there. Okay, we'll move on to Echo 5, Charlie 08. What coordinate system is often used to display the phase angle of a circuit containing resistance, inductive, and or capacitive reactance? A Maidenhead grid. B, a Faraday grid. C, an elliptical coordinate. Or D, a polar coordinate. Well, the correct answer is D. Let me reset here now and we'll give you a reason here. Okay. I said that was a bit of a mouthful there. This thing stops falling on me here. Okay. In mathematics, the polar coordinate system is a two-dimensional coordinate system in which each point on a plane is determined by the distance from a reference point and an angle from a reference direction. Angles in a polar notation are generally expressed in either degrees or radians. 2 TT rad being equal to 360 degrees. Okay, I'm going to pass it back to Gary, who will have the next question for us here. Gary, it's your turn. Okay.
All right. Thank you, David, and appreciate that. As we continue now, we're still working on these questions related to graphing. And again, you deal with that because it is a visual representation of the information and the data that you're trying to interpret. So it's important to at least get the background on it, and if anything, just remember what the answers are. You're not going to be, for the most part, you know, getting that heavily involved with stuff that you're going to have to use these on a constant basis. But you do have to know them to pass the exam. So it's good to get the background in it. And again, if you can remember the concept, it's very handy. It goes a long ways to getting you to pass the exam, too. So we're going to pick it up with E5C09. E5C09. When using rectangular coordinates to graph the impedance of a circuit, what do the axes represent? And here's your choices. The x-axis represents the resistive component, and the y-axis represents the reactive component. Or B, the x-axis represents the reactive component, and the y-axis represents the resistive component. Or C, the x-axis represents the phase angle, and the y-axis represents the magnitude. Or D, the x-axis represents the magnitude, and the y-axis represents the phase angle. Let me just let it drop, and we'll have the answer for you. Okay, the correct answer here is A. The x-axis represents the resistive component, and the y-axis represents the reactive component. Now, not to be a pain in the axis, but this expands the earlier questions that we were working with, too, okay? But there's another trick involved here, too. When you look at the graph, all right, and this is the one thing to keep in your mind when you get this question or a question similar to it. When they're talking about reactive components, it's always going to be on the y-axis. It's always going to be on that. So that's how you can always tell whether you're right or wrong. Look for reactive. Is it on the y? Yep. Okay. Well, the chances are that's going to be the correct choice. Okay. All right, here we go. Let me just ask if anybody has any questions or comments at this point. Okay, I guess you guys are sopping it right up. That's good. All right, we'll continue with E6C01. The question is, what is the function of a hysteresis in a comparator? All right, so we're moving on to, we're moving away from the graphs now. And we're moving into digital stuff, all right? So we're asking, what is the function of a hysteresis in a comparator? And your choices are A, to prevent input noise from causing unstable output signals, or B, to allow the comparator to be used with an AC input, or C, to cause the output to change states continually, or D, to increase the sensitivity. All right, I'm going to let it drop, and then we'll talk about the answer. Okay, the question again is, what is the function of hysteresis in a comparator? And the correct answer is A, to prevent input noise from causing unstable output signals. Now, I'll go back to that whole idea of concepts in the questions and answers on these, okay? You have two important FCC test concepts right in that answer right there. And it's to prevent input noise from causing unstable output signals, all right? Input noise, right, you could make a comparison between noise and what you've already learned about unwanted interference, right? And that rings true through all these exams, right? So think of noise or some sort of interference, right, being woven in there. And unstable output signals, doesn't that sound like, you know, you're over-modulating and you're interfering with somebody else? So, again, these concepts are woven all throughout the whole thing. So if you latch onto that, it really is helpful. It'll guide you, you know, if you get stuck. The phenomenon in which the value of physical property lags behind changes in the effect causing it, is the magnetic induction lags behind the magnetizing force, right? It's a lag. It's a phase shift, okay? And this is what helps to prevent the input noise from causing unstable signals, okay? So it's kind of a again, you if you just look at it in the sense of okay, noise and stability, you're going to do all right with that. Okay, I'm going to let it drop and we'll throw it open to any questions or discussions. Okay, we've got one more here, and that's E6C03. What is tri-state logic? Now, it has nothing to do with the greater New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania areas, but here's your answers. A, logic devices with 0, 1, and high impedance output states. Or B, logic devices that utilize ternary math. C, low-power logic devices designed to operate at 3 volts. Or D, proprietary logic devices manufactured by Tri-State Devices. Okay, those are your choices. I'm going to let it drop, and we'll discuss that with the correct answer in just a second. Okay, as far as I know, there's no company called Tri-State Devices, so you can throw that one right out the window, okay? Your correct answer for this is A, logic devices with 0, 1, and high impedance output states. Now, you think about it, right? You've got the true, false, 0, 1, right, states, and high impedance. That's your third leg in the tri-state, the three states, okay? So it's true, false, or high impedance, all right? Three states. So if you keep that in mind, when you see something similar to that question, this question or one similar to it, that's what you're going to be wanting to look for. Okay, so again, do we have any discussion? Do we have a question?
Well, Greg, I was going to say, tri-state around here would be Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, especially in the corner of the state I'm in here, KB90WG.
It's a local question. That's true. That is true. And with hearing that, we're going to turn it over to KB9EWG for the next question.
And no, we're not going to cover the tri-state here, but like I said, that would be Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa here. So, anyways, moving on. The next question in our series will be Echo 6, Charlie Oscar 4, or Charlie 04, sorry about that. Charlie 04 here. Which of the following is an advantage of a BiMOS logic, or BiCMOS logic, yeah. BiCMOS logic. You can see that 3 times there. A, it simply results in much less expensive devices than a standard CMOS. B, it is immune to electrostatic damage. C, it has the high impedance of CMOS and a low impedance of a bipolar transistors. Or D, all the answers are correct. Well, the correct answer in this case would be Charlie. It has the high impedance of CMOS and low output impedance of low bipolar transistors. And a low explanation here, the high and low impedance differences is the advantage there. So that's that question there. And we'll move on. Okay, the next question will be Echo 6, Charlie 05. What is the advantage of CMOS logic devices over TTL devices? A, different output capabilities. B, lower distortion. C, immune to damage from static discharge. Or D, lower power consumption. Well, the correct answer would be D, lower power consumption. The answer speaks for itself. Lower power consumption is a great advantage to circuit design and cost operation. Okay, the next question will be Echo 6, Charlie 06. Why does CMOS digital integrated circuits have high immunity to noise on the input signal or power supply? A, large bypass capacitance is inherent. B, the input switching threshold is about 2 times the power supply voltage. see, the input switching threshold is about 1/2 the power supply voltage, or D. Bandwidth is very limited. No. Correct answer is C. Let me reset and I'll come back with the next question here. Two important characteristics of CMOS devices are high noise immunity and low static power consumption. Since one transistor of the MOSFET pair is always off, the series combination draws significant power only momentarily during the switching between on and off states. At this time, I'll open up for any questions, comments, or whatever else. Well, it seems to bring us to the end of the list here, the questions and answers. Anything further from you guys before we turn it back to Mike there?
Well, thank you, David. No, nothing specific. I would just, again, reiterate, if anybody has anything to ask a question or has a comment on anything, this is the time to do it. The other thing that I would inject would be that, again, while you're doing your study for this, while you work on this on your own, pay attention to those little subtle things that I was talking about, the way that the FCC has concepts all the way through, and you've been doing it ever since your tech exam. You just didn't know it back then, you know. But they have certain core concepts that are always in those exams and always in those questions. So if you can learn to recognize them, you can learn to recognize the proper answer if you don't know it or if you're not sure. Okay, that's the one thing. And if you can stay with that, you know, all the better, all the better. The other thing is just, again, don't be afraid to ask if you've got something that isn't making sense to you. Ask any of us, and we'll be more than happy to help you. Okay, that's what I've got, and I'll turn it back to you, David.
Okay, well, Gary, it's certainly been a pleasure working with you again. It's been a while since we've done something together, so it's been fun. And I just want to mention also, you know, that those interested, you know, I have been doing online testing with the AGR group. So, you know, when you're ready for your test, you know, might want to look into that as far as taking a test online. I've got nothing further, so I guess I'll turn it back to the mic over there and let the fat lady do her thing there. Mike, KB0CDQ, back to you from KB9EWG.
Okay, KB9EWG. I'm looking around the room for the fat lady. I don't know where she is. I don't hear any singing. But you two fellows did a fine job tonight, Gary and David. I enjoy the injection of that little bit of humor here and there. Totally unexpected, but totally appreciated. Really appreciated that. Come on, does anybody have a question? I'm going to say, for one, it's been so long since I took the extra exam. I look at these Q&As, and I say, oh, boy, do I know this? No, I do not know this anymore. I don't know if I ever knew these questions and answers, but I guess I did. But very fine job. It's very technical stuff. It's something to really look into, and I would suggest you not look at the ABCDs for you taking the class, because they have been known to rotate the answers. So the letters may change on you. Plus, some of this stuff, if it's difficult for you, memorize the answer. Memorize the Q&A together. Your brain can do it. You may not be able to do it, but your brain can. So if some of this stuff is over your head, like some of it's over my head, just memorize and do the best you can. That's all we can ask for. Is there anyone else that has anything you'd like to say about these classes? This is a good opportunity. We've got time. Don't feel rushed. Don't feel like we're in a hurry to get away and have another drink of water from the Fountain of Youth or something. So go ahead with any Q&As. We're listening. Over. Even if it's not on this class. Over.
Hotel Alpha.
Okay, Fred, K2HA, go ahead.
Well, I want to thank everybody that did the presentation here, and Mike, I agree with you. These questions are a little technical, and refreshing the brain is good. And while the class was going on, I was doing a little deeper research into some of the answers. I need to refresh a little bit more. But I just wanted to break in here and say thank you to everybody that presented tonight, and we'll continue with class on Tuesday night. And following, as soon as this class is done, if anybody wants to hang around for the rag chew, I'll be here. So this is Fred, K2HA.
Now, K2HA does a fine rag chew. I'd recommend, if you got the moment, listen in. It's always something to learn, and it's just fun to be together with nice people. And we are nice people, I hope. So, again, if you have any questions, or if you want to just hang around for Fred, I would suggest that you do. I want to inject something. I just got on my cell phone a notice from the Salvation Army. As you all may know, it's a hurricane, two hurricanes in the Gulf of Mexico, and one of them's heading for Texas. I just got a notice. I may be activated. I may be activated to go to Houston, which is about 400 plus miles from where I live. If I do go, I'll bring my laptop with me, and I will seek out Wi-Fi so I can continue assisting, because I'm not doing the work. Y'all are doing the work with the Q&As, but I'll be able to stand by and assist with the test. I'll let you know. They won't know till tomorrow or early Tuesday if we're being activated or not, but I'm on standby. So getting back to this, this is all part of ham radio. It's fun. It's interesting. And we never know all the answers, but we can do our best. So let's go ahead. Anybody have any questions? I will turn off the recording now. So if you have any questions, don't feel funny that anybody's listening in. It's just us, friendly guys. KD0CDQ, back to anybody that has a question. Over.
Six, Victor.
Go ahead, Six Victor.
Thank you, Michaelson. KY6V, good evening, everybody. Nice job, guys, on the program this evening. Very well done. I want to reiterate a little bit about what Gary was saying. If there are any questions that you're pondering, that you're having a little difficulty in getting your arms around, and you'd like to talk with somebody about it, just drop us an email. We're open 24/7. The email is voip@scarsvoip.com. And we'd be very happy to work with you on that subject or any others that you might have in mind. Additionally, we should have the podcast for tonight posted on our website, the recording, probably by noon tomorrow. At least that's what we normally shoot for. And tonight's class places you all of the students, in a 50% posture. That means we are now 50% done of the 10 classes that will be conducted for the overall course. That's all I've got, Mike. Watch out, you got another one coming right behind Marco. And it's headed for Texas and Louisiana also. So you better load two guns. KD0CDQ, KY6V, over.